Welcome to the 24K Life Code. I am your host, Derek Gant, and the 24K Life is all about establishing connections with the people that can help you elevate your life in a way that satisfies you so that you can live unconditionally at the level that makes you the absolute best you can be. You know, 24K Life, we try to bring you amazing guests that have unique skills and abilities. And today is absolutely, unequivocally, no exception. We are bringing and are blessed to have an energy worker, and not in the traditional sense. She has over 27 years of her career was spent in corporate America. She busted out of there like Superwoman and has decided to help each and every one of us figure out how to elevate our own energy so that we can deliver in our own universe and kingdoms a 24K life. Her name is Gabby Pimstone. Gabby, welcome to the 24K Life Code.
Hello, Derek. Hello, audience. It's really, really great to be here. And Derek, I'm really happy that we made this happen.
Oh, so am I. So am I. I dropped the ball originally. And, you know, you're in Austria, right?
Australia.
Okay. So
you're in Sydney, Australia.
And I'm in the United States. And for whatever reason, my financial mind with the math wasn't mathing, and I could not get the right time zones right. And I showed up an hour late for our originally scheduled broadcast, but we stuck to it and decided that we were going to share your amazing wisdom with the world. So I'm excited. And here's the thing I'm really excited about. I understand that you broke out of corporate through a podcast that you did. So I got my fingers crossed that after our recording session here at the 24K Life, something else amazing is going to happen in your universe that takes your life to an even higher level. And I just want to be a part of that.
Well, from your mouth to the man upstairs' ears. How would it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell us about that. What was the aha that you after that podcast that got you thinking about your purpose, your plan, and your presentation?
Great. Well, it was an interesting moment. I remember the day. I remember the time. It was so powerful. It was the 9th of August in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I woke up at about 5:30 in the morning. I had this really deep pit in my stomach. I had that sense of impending dread and doom, and I didn't know what was going on. And it took me about a minute, tuned in, and I realized it was because I actually had to go to work the next day.
Oh, and so, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it was. It was like the Sunday blues on steroids, and at like really early in the morning. But it was because I actually had a great career for about, I'd say about 20 years. I was in organizational psychology, but it started getting tiresome. And on this particular Sunday, I was a senior leader at a bank, and banking is my background. Mm-hmm. And I hated my job. I'd lost my essence. I was living with incredible anxiety, and I just had withdrawn from the world around me. There was no other way to put it. Yeah. And I woke up that morning.
Did you know this, or were you just like in a depressive type state?
I didn't notice properly until that morning. I kind of, like most people, I was just chugging along and accepting that this was my lot. And I, you know, I kind of had thought a couple of times about leaving, but I was really just plodding along. But this, like when I woke up, you know, our bodies have got such infinite wisdom. I had this sensation that really like alerted me. So what I did was I took myself off. As you know, I live in Sydney, Australia, beautiful outdoors, beaches, bushwalks. And I thought, let me get out into nature, listen to a podcast and see how I feel afterwards. And I put on my AirPods and I tuned into this podcast. This woman was being interviewed and she was talking about how her daughter, I don't know, 10 years before, had been involved in this really bad car accident. Mm-hmm. And the young woman was seriously injured at the time, had to learn to walk again. It was a good ending. She not only learned to walk again, she got married and she was expecting her first child. So the mother who was being interviewed on this podcast was talking about all the blessings in her life, but not being able to enjoy the moment. Always waiting for the other shoe to fall. And that was my story because I lost my dad. Yeah, it was those words, like waiting for the other shoe to fall. Then I thought to myself, this anxiety's got me in its grip and I've got to do something about it.
Now, did you, at this point in your life, you know, you're 20 years in, you have family, you have husband, you have kids, you have people in your universe depending on you?
I've got people in my universe who I'd disconnected from completely. Wow. So I only had enough energy to get up in the morning and to haul my sorry self off to work. Yeah. And actually I had no energy for anything. So I had a lot of people who were around me who were noticing that something was different. Okay. And in fact, even that wasn't enough
Did your work suffer at all, or your health? Did anything else suffer?
Yes. Yes, my health suffered. So I've got a kind of a chronic thyroid problem, and it's called Graves' disease, hyperthyroidism. And it had been in remission for, I don't know, like 10 years or whatever, and it came back in that time. So I actually called my brother in Canada, who's a doctor. I thought I had swollen ankles. I thought I had heart problems. And he said, go get your thyroid checked out.
That really?
Yeah, yeah. So everything was affected, Derek. And yet I didn't take action, which I think is, you know, quite an interesting thing. And it got me thinking about why so many of us accept the status quo, why so many of us, despite really compelling evidence, don't do anything to make the real changes we need in our lives.
So what did this look like? I know I get a little in the weeds a little bit sometimes. But what is this? What does it look like? You go to work and then you come home and you say to yourself, I need to journal about this. I need to think about this. Or is this a kind of an underlying thought along the way throughout the course of your day? What does it really look? I mean, so I'm trying to give people the perspective of how they can come out of this fog and the work that you had to do to start to transform your own life, because you had to take control of your life.
Yes, so you do. That's exactly right. No one's going to do it for you. It can come in different ways. For me, the way that I sense into the stuff is through my dreams. Yeah, I know we're getting a little bit out there, but I'm
no, go as far dreamer. As you can. I love it.
I'm a big dreamer. And since I was a young child, like 7 or 8 years old, I've been following my dreams, capturing them. And now I've got to a point where I don't even have to write them down. I just wake up and I've got a sense about what happened. So I do that. I tap in that way. That's a really nifty way of tapping into what's going on at an unconscious level. The other way, and the way that I'm less cognitive, thought-based than I am feeling-based.
Okay.
So I'm going to get a feeling that something's off. Right. Like when I woke up in the morning, like that sense of dread, there's no other way to put it, and impending doom. So I tune into the felt sense of what's going on inside me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I had an experience like that. Different subject matter. I was super involved in my church, and our leader had passed away, and the new leader came in, and he was rather dogmatic, and you know, he was autocratic, dogmatic, all the badmatics, right? And so, and after a while, on Saturday, like midday to late day Saturday, I start getting like agitated, irritated, short with other people, you know, getting kind of just gritty, nitty, uneasy, anxiety feeling. And it took me a long time to figure out it was church. But I hate to say it that way, but it's true. It was like, it took me, because church is not supposed to make you feel worse.
No.
Better. And I noticed that on Saturdays, I started, you know, it's probably pretty close to what most people, not most people, but a lot of people that work a traditional job that start saying, oh my, on Sunday night, they start getting ready for Monday and they start getting in a crappy mood. It was probably like that, but it took me a while to figure out why I was in that mood, or number one, that I was in a mood. Number two, why I was in the mood. Yes. And then it was even harder to take action to get out of that, which means that I had to leave that environment.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, so how did you leave your environment? How did you decide that you're out? Banking, I'm out.
Well, I resigned from the job on Monday.
You did not.
I did. I actually phoned the employee assistance program. I don't know if you've got that in America, but in Australia, most corporations have got what we call an EAP, and you can call, you've got about like 5 free counseling sessions a year. I'd never used it. So I called a counselor. Okay. And I made the decision immediately after that call to, yes. I didn't leave corporate immediately. I then did a lot of contract work, which was much easier. Mm-hmm. But I stepped away from a permanent role as a senior leader in a big stuffy bank.
Wow, that is incredible. Yeah. You don't hear many people say that. I called Monday and I left. It's like, I'm done. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. That's not for everyone. I mean, I'm a decisive person, Derek. Not everyone is wired that way. So you're going to find a way to transition out if that's more your style.
No, I get it. I get it. And I'm like you. I'm more decisive, but I'm also a planner. So I get a little strategic when if I get enough headwind, I can be strategic about it as a financial consultant and all the other things that I do. So tell me. About the energy work that you do, because I've interviewed other people, I've also had experiences, but I'm more interested in your approach and what you focus on in your energy work.
Cool. So my approach, I would say, is a hybrid, a composite of my background in psychology and my skills as an energy practitioner. I feel like I found the sweet spot between psychology and spirituality, because what you've got to do when you're working with clients, you've got to find a way to translate what you're doing. You can't just be sitting in the ethers doing powerful energy work. You've got to give people tools and techniques to do it themselves, and you've got to be the translator. So I think psychology is the way to do it. So it's almost like a East meets West approach, where we're working with contemporary modern psychological issues in a spiritual context. Okay. And so, so that's how I would describe my philosophical approach. But so what I do is I'm always working at the psychological level, because I think it's really an important way to shift energy is language and giving peace. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation in counseling or therapy situation, where the coach or the therapist has said something that's just landed for you. Mm-hmm. And when they find the right word, it shifts your energy. So it's really important that we talk and that I help people locate what's happening for them. And then I work at an energetic level as well.
Okay. So I did a little bit of homework. I thought I was relatively familiar with most methods of energy work, which is why I really wanted to talk to you, because I feel like yours is different. And I'm gonna lay these out, and then you can tell me, you know, maybe the difference or how you work. But there's Reiki, there's sound healing, there's acupressure, there's pranic healing, which is the breath work, quantum touch, intuitive healing, breath work, energy profiling, acupuncture, crystal healing, reflexology, healing touch, craniosacral, meditation, the Brennan healing science, phototherapy, chakras, quantum healing, tapping, polarity therapy, qigong, angelic healing, EFT, and somatic experiencing. Those were some of the top ones that I found when I Googled and did some homework. Because I just knew you were different. I don't know how, I knew. And so I'm like, okay, she didn't mention any of these methodologies when we spoke. Yeah. I don't see any of them in her profile information. So I really want to talk to her.
Let's talk about it. Okay, so this is where I'm going to ask your guests to just expand their mind, put their, you know, just keep an open mind as we're talking, because I have to talk about the methodology, and it is a little bit, you know, it's not mainstream per se.
They can watch it, they can rewatch until it clicks in, but go for it.
Right. So most people know Reiki, and I have not studied Reiki myself. The people that I studied this methodology with studied Reiki, and they say this is like Reiki on turbocharge. So what Reiki uses are symbols, okay? And each symbol has a kind of an energetic frequency, and they use it to heal, clear, release, whatever.
Right.
What I use is an advanced form of sacred geometry. Right. And most people, and I didn't even know what that was before I enrolled in the program. I wasn't interested in the sacred geometry, but I was interested in healing myself. But sacred geometry is, if you think about the universe and the world around us, nature, our human body, it's filled with these perfectly symmetrical, divinely proportioned patterns and structures. I'll give you an example. An example would be, let's think of inside the human body, our DNA, which is a spiral, right? Our spheres, our cells, which are spheres, they're spherical in nature. If you go out into actual nature and if you look into the middle of a flower, you'll see this perfect geometric pattern and shape. Snowflakes,
honeycomb.
Look inside the cut a piece of fruit. Look inside a piece of fruit, and you'll see these magnificent and divinely proportioned geometric shapes and patterns. Now, they're not there by coincidence. Galileo actually referred to sacred geometry, these patterns, as the language of the universe, the language of God. And they can be found everywhere. Now, each of them houses a particular energetic frequency. It has a resonance, right? And they can be used for different kinds of healing. Now, they are very simple geometric patterns. For example, a simple one would be like a pyramid shape, triangle. But advanced sacred geometry, for those of you who are listening, you might know things like Metatron's cube, the Sri Yantra. These are very potent energetic shapes and patterns. And what I do is you bring in and I use different advanced sacred geometries. I also do a lot of layering. I mix things up so it becomes more potent. And each one can be used for different things. Like there's a sacred geometry for total forgiveness, for example. There's a sacred geometry for unconditional love. There's a sacred geometry for time travel so that I can read your energy all the way down to your childhood. So there are different applications of it, and it's immensely powerful. And that's what I do. So I'm using these geometric.
I knew it was amazing, and I knew it was different. I don't know how. Let me ask you a really cool question. And I'm saying it's cool, and I'm going to ask it because it just came to me. And it's got to be a great question. It has to be. And you don't have to co-sign on it. I already know it's a great question.
Okay.
So we have the sacred geometry, but we also know that there is something amazing about vibrations. So music, sounds, vibrations. Yeah. How do those two don't the vibrations create the sacred geometry? Like the honey, because I've seen this like in water, indeed. Like freezing water and different things and these shapes and things. I'm not asking you to explain. I'm asking you, do you know the connection or how that, because I really don't. That's as much as I know, but it's gotta be a great combination.
Yes, well, yes, you're absolutely right that it's a vibrational frequency. So it's a vibration that creates this perfect geometric shape and structure. Mm-hmm. But I want to double click on something you said, because you spoke now and a little bit earlier about sound frequency. And I think we can all relate to that, because all of us know what it's like to tune into a radio station, right? It's the same with energetic vibration. And so sound, what I do is I'm using sacred geometry, but I'm also layering other modalities. And I wrote down some of the stuff that you listed. Sound frequency is one of them. So what I might do is I might, if I'm healing myself, for example, I might, water's a conductor of energy, I might get into a bath. Okay. I might use sacred geometry on myself, okay, and then I might play a specific sound frequency. I tend to use the solfeggio sound frequencies.
Okay.
Yeah, that can be found on Spotify, anywhere. And each of them have got their unique vibrational resonance. And so you can pick the one that matches or approximates the issue that you're trying to release and play it at the same time. Or what I got into in a really big way for a long time was doing this just before I went to sleep. I'd go to sleep with sound frequency. So I'd use sacred geometry, put on sacred geometry just before I went to sleep that I would sleep with, and I'd go to sleep with the sound frequency playing. So all these things can be matched, can be added, they compound each other. You also mentioned chakra clearing. Of course, the chakra is the epicenter of our energetic bodies. So, you know, you'd be working with it, you'd be releasing and clearing stuff from the chakra and balancing the chakras as well. So all these things can be put together for very, very powerful effect.
Wow, that's exactly what I was hoping to hear without knowing what I was going to hear, if that makes any sense. Because it made sense to me. It made sense to me to combine the two. And so that is awesome. So I want to throw something out. And, you know, the person that I have a client, and they may be listening or not. I don't know, but I'm not giving her name. So hopefully they won't be upset with me. But I have a client that lost a grandparent, and I can only assume that this loss of this relationship was more of a mother-daughter than a granddaughter-grandmother, because they are just simply beside themselves and devastated. And I'm not talking about, you know, a week or 2 weeks or even a month. We're talking about this extended sense of depression or angst, or that feeling that you were talking about with the job. And my question to you is not for an exact answer, but in the constructs of what you do, is this the type of work that you do that could help someone in that situation?
Very, very much so. Firstly, I do want to extend my sympathies to your client. And as somebody who I know loss, it's been a huge part of my story. I lost my father when I was 9 years old. I understand grief. I understand how overpowering it is. And so I wanted to extend my sympathies. Yes, I healed my grief through the work that I do.
Did you?
I sure did. I healed two things, grief and anxiety. Those were my two big energy blocks. Okay. But when it comes to the story that you've just related about your client, it's useful to think of the healing from two possible perspectives, I guess. So she's either in a moment of real deep release, where she's letting go of a deeply held energy block, something that's been with her for a long time. Mm-hmm. That's the one scenario. Second scenario is she's just having kind of a moment, an energy dip, something's thrown you off course, and depending on what you're dealing with, you're going to handle it very differently. But it sounds to me like she's in scenario one.
Okay. Let's take scenario one. And I don't like when people say, excuse me for interrupting, because if I wanted an excuse for interrupting, I would not have interrupted. So I interrupted on purpose. But anyway, I still respect you, but I wanted to get this in.
Go for it, Derek.
So in scenario number one, and you said that she may be releasing a long held block, it's something that's, it has nothing to do with the relationship of her and the other person. It's more something in herself or in ourselves. I just want to make sure I'm clear on what, because I just don't think that it's has anything to do. If she's listening, I don't want her to think that, or if it's correct, then you just corrected me. But what is that you mentioned, that if it is something long-term, it's not some poor relationship with her grandparent, it's something internally?
Well, what it sounds to me like, it's something deep, and it's something that the loss of her grandmother has evoked. Okay. Mm. Now, grief is grief. It's, so there's that layer of what she's going through.
Of course.
But what you're describing, and I don't know her, never met her, you know, but it sounds to me like it's, she's unable to move through this, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that often gives me a sense that there's something, there's like an energy block that this is linked, that this event is linked to, that she needs to release. And so that's why I'm saying that, because, you know, when people go through grief, there's a mourning period. Mm-hmm. We go through it, and most people are able to navigate through it in a particular way, where we actually find our way through the grief. What you're describing is, no, that's not happening. There's something keeping her stuck in the grief. Okay. And so that's why I said what I said.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, go for it.
No, go ahead.
No, I guess what I wanted to say is, when we're in those moments, regardless of whether it is a deep block or whether it's, you know, regardless of what's actually driving it, most of us as humans have a tendency to want to circumvent our pain.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a huge.
I'll raise my hand for that one. I tried to go over it, go around it, anything but through it.
Exactly. So that's exactly. So true emotional healing doesn't happen without feeling. Mm-hmm. What you've just said is the only way out is through. The only way out is in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during my journey, and this might be helpful for your client if he or she's listening, but when I was purging grief, okay, I had profound emotional purging. I sat with grief I sat with my emotions for about 3 to 4 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I released, and I had different bouts of this, anxiety, shame, grief, anger. And my mantra was that the only way out is through. So what does that mean in practicality? It means that we have to sit in the fire of it. We've got to go in, but we've got to work it. We can't just be passively sitting in it. We've got to go in there. We have got to embrace the release, because when we are purging emotions, it's just low vibrational frequency leaving us. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I stayed grounded, and I kept my heart in. I kept open-hearted. And I poured conscious awareness and loving attention onto that issue of grief.
Okay.
If it was grief that I was working through, if it was shame or whatever. And that's the only way that you actually are able to release, let go of the vibration of grief. And as we release that energy, we make space for vibrant creative flow, we start to see different possibilities. So my recommendation for all of us is, when we are in those moments of profound pain, is to go in and to just let the emotions surface, let them, and think of it as low vibrational frequency leaving us, and just feel it go up and out. It's a very soothing way of getting through those moments.
Well, if you, all that are listening, all of you, all of us, if you are listening to this and you have any resonance with any of this from whatever the level happens to be, you know, make sure you go check out Gabby at www.generativegrowth.com.au. You can go check her out. Go check her out. I'm going to say it again. Go check her out. I mean, if you're not getting the feeling of the sincerity of her verbiage, of her words, of her caring, you're listening to the wrong podcast, because I can feel it, I can see it, I can hear it, and it is very comforting to have someone non-judgmental, very caring, very educational. And here's the most important thing. When you were a little kid and you went to the barber and their hair was messed up, that's not the barber for you. And my point in saying this is that Gabby is talking about these things from first-hand experience. She has processed herself through the pain, through the shame. And I like it. She said the only way is to go through it. And she says you can't just sit in the fire. You got to take some action. I love that. Let me ask you a different question, though, Gabby. So I interviewed someone that was talking about energy healing, and he was saying that and it's not a comparison, it's more of a clarification after interviewing him, you know, months and months ago. But he was talking about being able to get on the phone with someone and talk to them a little bit, ask them a couple questions, and then he would go on his own little side journey to eliminate their blocks. And I want to know your opinion about that. I believe him because I know the universe is so vast. I understand that everybody's at a different spiritual level, a different understanding level. But man, it's hard to wrap my head around, like, you know, just not doing anything and having somebody, you know, I don't know what he does. You know, wave a magic wand. I'm not sure. But, you know, and I'm not being dismissive. Great guy, super knowledgeable about what he was talking about. Trained in all those type of things. I just was having a hard time.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about the actual healing process. So that's when the person gets into a kind of state and then the healer does their thing. Mm-hmm. So we all work that way. And okay. So what I typically do is I will sit with a client.
Do we have any idea what it was, or we don't know?
You know what? I think it's energy. And I'll tell you why. Because sometimes when energetic frequency goes up, technology breaks down.
Goes out. I love it. I love it. So we were just vibing so high. It needed a break. I'm out. I love it. And I'm going to put this part, right, this conversation right here inside of the episode. So right before we lost sound, I was asking you, about, you know, inner healing, a healer being able to heal or do work for other people long distance, over the airwaves, over the universe, without even talking to them after initial conversation. And you were just answering me on the work that you do and how that all works.
So I don't know how the guy you were talking about did it, mm-hmm. but for me, it's through advanced sacred geometry. So I've got a geometric structure that I build that enables me to bring your energetic body right in front of me. I know that sounds crazy and, mm-hmm. you know, but it works. In fact, most of my healings are done virtually. I prefer it for a number of reasons. So using this particular sacred geometry, I then bring your energetic body through intention. I bring it in and I house it in the structure, and I'm working with it in front of me as if you were in front of me. That's how it works. And when I'm done, I release you from the structure and mm-hmm. I send the structure away. So that's how I personally do it. That's the power of advanced sacred geometry, being able to work remotely using a particular structure.
I love that. So I have to then assume, and I know they say about assuming, but I'm going to assume
that
each one of us, I know we have our own unique fingerprints, we have our unique eyes, our unique facial structures. You know, I always talk about I'm the only one that can unlock my phone. My brother favors me and he can't unlock my phone, even though we favor a lot. Because of our uniqueness. So then I have to assume that we all have this incredibly unique vibration, this incredibly unique geometric code that you can tap in to get my energy in your presence in Australia.
So your unique vibrational code, as you put it, is a, it's really what it is it's a composite of your experiences that you've had that have created thoughts, that have created stories you tell about yourself, that have created beliefs that you have about yourself, others, and the world around you, that have created decisions you've made, actions you've taken, habits that have become ingrained. All those things have an energetic frequency, and the unique constellation of all of that makes up your energetic frequency that I can go in and read and tap into.
Okay, so this is feeding right into my last question. We're gonna make this the last one, and then we're gonna try this again so we don't have any interruptions. So of course, the 24K Life Code is about helping people identify their unique structure for producing life at their best level. And so I love that this ties together with what you're saying. I tie it into, you know, your own personal things. Like, do you operate best in the morning or in the evening? Do you, are you soft spoken or loud spoken? Do you need pats on the back or words of encouragement? Do you need to work out aggressively or do you need mild workout? So all the things that make you up. And so I love that it feeds right into what you're saying. So my question, the key question is, we all do have a story. Most of the time, it's a lie that we've been telling ourselves. So in your opinion, give me one or two things that people can do to start to change their code, their combination. And I know working with you is one of them. I know tapping into several modalities, as you said, and stacking them up and getting in the water. Like something new I got from, God, I can't even think of his name now. I was drawing blank. But, you know, when I go out in big crowds or places that I don't like big crowds, but when I have to do it, I come home and I take a shower because water is cleansing, not even for the soap, but just for the symbolic washing of the energies of others off of me. So give me a couple things that you think a novice could start tapping into to start identifying their code and possibly changing their code or their story.
You know, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, because this is the most powerful and the most efficient way of doing it. Dreaming, dreams. Mm. And it is the most efficient way to not just decipher your code, but to heal as well. So it's a really, here's a simple way that I teach people to do things. And it's based on Jungian psychology. So this is where my psych background comes in. But before you go to sleep, just before you go to sleep, get into a place of energetic, like an energetic state that is clear, that is focused, and set an intention for what you want to find out in your sleep. And you can address your dream tonight as I sleep, show me why I struggle in relationships. Show me whatever it is, okay? And you can act, so you get into that moment, you set the intention. You can also do a symbolic ritual, which I think another way of layering. So for example, if it is the relationship theme, you can either write, if you've got crystals, you can put some rose quartz under your pillow and sleep with it, or you can take a post-it note and write something that's about love on it and put it next to your bed, anything, something simple. And then go to sleep, put on solfeggio music, and maybe you want to put on the solfeggio music that's related to the heart chakra, it's 528, and go to sleep. When you wake up, document what you have dreamt and do this for a period of 7 to 21 days.
You know, but I will. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's what it's that honestly, okay. It's a fast track.
I love it. I love it. But I was getting ready to challenge you. When I say getting ready to challenge you, I went to Google on my iPad while we're talking. because I hear so many people go, oh, I don't dream. But I just Googled it, and it says that only 6.5% of people say they don't dream. So that just crushes what I was going to challenge you on.
Good.
A lot of people say they don't dream, but according to this, most people dream. And the steps that you've laid out for us helps them to dream, because you clearly said state your intention before you go to bed, feeding your mind with the content that you want to be answered or addressed in your state of rest. Listen again, everyone, if you want to find out even more, you're not going to get everything you need in a 45-minute podcast, but what you can do is you can reach out to Gabby. It's Gabby Penstone, but you can reach out to www.generativegrowth.com.au, and she'll be happy to connect with you and answer all the questions that I didn't ask or didn't think to ask. But I've enjoyed this thoroughly, Gabby, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your heart. I can feel your heart-centeredness, and it is probably why we've had a couple interruptions, because we're just vibing so high that the equipment needed a rest. But I do appreciate you. I look forward to more of your content. With that, would you like any parting tips or advice? The last one you gave, I think, is amazing.
Well, I want to say thank you as a parting gift to you, because I think it takes people like you to get our messages out there. So thank you so much for the incredible work you do. And for your listeners, I would say that as somebody who's worked in the field of mindsets and behaviors and emotions, actually it's energy that runs the show. So if you want real transformation in your life, learn to master your energy. It's incredibly powerful.
Thank you, Gabby. Hold on 1 second. Stay in the back in the green room for me. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this segment. You know, I am more than excited to bring people like Gabby to the forefront. You know, if you couldn't tell how she ties directly into the 24K Life Code and how you can level up your life, how you can live your best life, how you can become the absolute best version of yourself much sooner than later, you missed the whole interview, and I suggest you go back, take another look, take another listen or another look. You know, with that, we like you to like, share, and subscribe. We're also asking for you to go out to Gabby's website, www.generativegrowth.com.au. She hails from Sydney, Australia. She is amazing. You know what? This universe, this world that we live in, doesn't matter where you are, we can bring solutions, answers, and support to your doorstep. Hey, be your best, bring your best, leave nothing to chance. I'm Derek Gant. Be well.